Landlord, I've changed my mind about that harpooner. I shan't sleep with him. I'll try the bench here.
Just as you please. I'm sorry I can't spare you a tablecloth or a mattress. And it's a plaguey rough board here,
feeling of the knots and notches.
But wait a bit, Scrimshander. I've got a carpenter's plane there in the bar. Wait, I say it, I'll make you snug enough.
So saying, he procured the plane, and with his old silk handkerchief first dusting the bench, vigorously set to planing away at my bed, the while grinning like an ape. The shavings flew right and left, till at last the plane iron came bump against an indestructible knot. The landlord was near spraining his wrist, and I told him for heaven's sake to quit. The bed was soft enough to suit me, and I did not know how all the planing in the world could make eider down of a pine plank. So, gathering up the shavings with another grin and throwing them into the great stove in the middle of the room, he went about his business and left me in a brown study. I now took the measure of the bench and found that it was a foot too short, but that could be mended with a chair. But it was a foot too narrow, and the other bench in the room was about 4 inches higher than the planed one, so there was no yoking them. I then placed the first bench lengthwise along the only clear space against the wall, leaving a little interval between for my back to settle down in. But I soon found that there came such a draft of cold air over me from under the sill of the window that this plan would never do at all, especially as another current from the rickety door met the one from the window, and both together formed a series of small whirlwinds in the immediate vicinity of the spot where I had thought to spend the night. The devil fetch that harpooner, thought I. But stop. Couldn't I steal a march on him, bolt his door inside, and jump into his bed not to be wakened by the most violent knockings? It seemed no bad idea, but upon second thoughts I dismissed it. For who could tell but what the next morning, so soon as I popped out of the room, the harpooner might be standing in the entry all ready to knock me down. Still, looking around me again and seeing no possible chance of spending a sufferable night unless in some other person's bed, I began to think that after all I might be cherishing unwarrantable prejudices against this unknown harpooner. Thinks I, I'll wait a while. He must be dropping in before long. I'll have a good look at him then. And perhaps we may become jolly good bedfellows after all. There's no telling. But though the other boarders kept coming in by ones, twos, and threes and going to bed, yet no sign of my harpooner. Landlord, said I, what sort of chap is he? Does he always keep such late hours? It was now hard upon 12 o'clock. The landlord chuckled again with his lean chuckle and seemed to be mightily tickled at something beyond my comprehension.
No, he answered. Generally he's an early bird, early to bed and early to rise. Yes, he's the bird what catches the worm. But tonight he went out a-peddling, you see, and I don't see what on earth keeps him so late unless maybe he can't sell his head.
Can't sell his head? What sort of a bamboozling story is this you're telling me? Getting into a towering rage. Do you pretend to say, landlord, that this harpooner is actually engaged this blessed Saturday night, or rather Sunday morning, in peddling his head around this town?
That's precisely it, said the landlord.
And I told him he couldn't sell it here. The market's overstocked.
With what? Shouted I. With heads, to be sure. Ain't there too many heads in the world?
I tell you what it is, landlord, said I quite calmly. You'd better stop spinning that yarn to me. I'm not green.
Maybe not, taking out a stick and whittling a toothpick. But I rather guess you'll be done brown if that here harpooner hears you a-slandering his head.
I'll break it for him, said I, now flying into a passion again at this unaccountable farrago of the landlord's.
It's broke already, said he.
Broke, said I. Broke, do you mean?
Certain. And that's the very reason he can't sell it, I guess.
Landlord, said I, going up to him as cool as Mount Hecla in a snowstorm. Landlord, stop whittling. You and I must understand one another, and that too without delay. I come to your house and want a bed. You tell me you can only give me half a one, and that the other half belongs to a certain harpooner. And about this harpooner, whom I have not yet seen, you persist in telling me the most mystifying and exasperating stories, tending to beget in me an uncomfortable feeling towards the man whom you design for my bedfellow, a sort of connection, landlord, which is an intimate and confidential one in the highest degree. I now demand of you to speak out and tell me who and what this harpooner is, and whether I shall be in all respects safe to spend the night with him. And in the first place, you will be so good as to unsay that story about selling his head.
which, if true, I take to be good evidence that this harpooner is stark mad, and I've no idea of sleeping with a madman. And you, sir, you, I mean, landlord, you, sir, by trying to induce me to do so knowingly, would thereby render yourself liable to a criminal prosecution.